I thought it was the appropriate tact.
Look at this little tidbit. The Niners are one of two teams in the NFL right now. Small sample size, 3 weeks. But again, just kind of speaks to what you're talking about. They're one of only two teams that have two players in the top 15 in receiving yards. The Rams with Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams, and the 49ers with Christian McCaffrey and Ricky Pearsall.
I mean, Ricky's on pace for 1,800 yards.
He has 281 right now. He's third in the NFL in receiving, and doesn't have a touchdown yet, but that'll come. It's Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Puka Nacua.
I know.
Those are the only two above him.
And CMC right now is an all-pro.
He's like, above Justin Jefferson through 3 weeks receiving yards.
He's been amazing.
Carter knew all along, by the way. They laughed at him when he drafted him.
Carter was right.
Look,
I'm pivoting. I'm admitting where I'm pivoting. Like, I'm telling you, I'm done losing my mind. Just win these games. Just win each game. I'll worry about the future in the future. Because, look, George Kittle had the best camp ever. They rested him. They did this. They did that. He still randomly got hurt. Like, if he was 22 or 23 or 24, hey, you know what? I would understand being a little more cautious. He's 29. And I also want to acknowledge, I'm not being disposable and flippant about his body. I'm not treating him like an avatar and a battering ram to just waste him. I don't want to be inhumane. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I think there's a fine line with how we discuss this. Like, I don't want to make it out like, just waste him all up. No. Like, be somewhat practical. But losing our minds about him getting too many touches, guys, they have to win these games. Yeah. Win these games. Would you rather, Christian, have 15 fewer touches and be 1-2?
No.
Or be right where you're at right now?
Right now. 140 all-purpose yards yesterday for CMC. And again,
he was the best player on the field.
He has more receiving yards through 3 weeks than Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, Michael Pittman Jr., Cortland Sutton, Trey McBride, Brock Bowers. The list goes on and on of other number ones around there. It's pretty insane for a running back, and they've needed every bit of what he has done in that receiving game. He's been the trusted agent alongside Ricky Pearsall, not only for Brock, but for Mac Jones, too, and hopefully Brock can come back sooner rather than later. But again, when he does come back, you're going to see more of that.
And there's a deep Mac Jones conversation. I don't think he's as good as Purdy overall, but there's something to be said. The guy fits. The guy fits. I'm not creating some quarterback controversy. So just, I think that he has been awesome these last two games. Are there some plays he wants back? Yes. Do you know how many sacks he avoided yesterday by climbing in the pocket and getting rid of the ball?
Just getting rid of it, yeah.
I thought he was excellent yesterday, just in general. And there were a couple of throws that maybe the ball placement wasn't as spot on as you would like. But all things being considered, I think you lose both the games the last 2 weeks with any other backup quarterback that they've had the last few years. Hey, Mac Jones deserves a ton of credit. The fact he gutted that out with the knee injury and threw some big-time throws, and I thought Shanahan dialing up that screen pass was exactly what they needed. He was awesome. That throw to Ricky Pearsall on fourth down, they don't score a touchdown if they don't convert on that play.
I mean, through two games as a backup quarterback, he has four touchdowns and just one pick.
He's been great.
I'm taking that every single day
of the
week.
He has two turnovers.
Yeah, fumble, exactly. But again, just one interception throwing the ball there, as we all thought.
And the lack of sacks, too.
Yes.
I think that's important.
Yes.
I thought he's done a really good job identifying the free rusher and getting rid of the ball.
It matters. Backup quarterbacks, as we saw yesterday in Minnesota, matter with Carson Wentz absolutely destroying another backup in Jake Browning, the Cincinnati Bengals.
There was one play in particular that's going to get lost. There was a free releaser. They're in kind of like no man's land. Are you going to kick this field goal or are you not? And it's right before halftime. And the free runner comes right up the middle. And Mac just fires one to Christian. Now, you don't convert on third down, but you get enough yards to make you go, all right, we're kicking the field goal here. So you get points before halftime. I thought it was 2 weeks in a row. Clock management, Kyle, was excellent.
888-957-9570 is the number to call or text. Jay, Miguel, Harmon, we'll get to all of you shortly as you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the Free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. 1 hour down, 3 to go here on a Victory Monday / Monster Monday on 95.7 The Game at Spadoni and Chasky. Niners are rolling at 3-0, first in the NFC West after the Rams fell yesterday to the Philadelphia Eagles, and what was a crazy game. The early slate was just absolutely insane in the NFL, and I was just hoping the Niners were going to be one of the other victims, like the Bucks, like the Eagles, or like the Rams, I should say, where it was a blocked kick field goal happening for a touchdown of the opposite way. I was hoping that didn't happen at Levi's Stadium. It didn't. Eddie Pinheiro.
Dude,
money.
His celebrating
Eddie money
was insane.
Oh, he was yelling at the Cardinals sideline. It was great.
Why?
Because he's got swag. I wish Jake Moody would do that. I wish he yelled at the other sideline. Good for Eddie Money, a.k.a. Eddie De Niro. Jay in San Rafael, kick things off. What's up, Jay?
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Fired up.
Awesome. I just wanted to say I am so excited about our 3-0 start. That's off the hook. And, hey, shout out to the special teams coach for actually coaching. The Fox broadcaster said, look at that veteran move, faking the catch and letting the ball bounce through the end zone. No mention of the previous safety-inducing mistake. Anyways, I wanted to see more variety of receivers used. Spread it around, Mac. Give me a pump fake. Look at Ricky then hit the open guy because they started cheating off their coverage to help out with Ricky. Anyway, let's get a new Niners cheer, guys. How about, or bring back the old one. One side would say, go. The other side would say, Niners. That's all. Thanks.
Hey, wait, Jay, you still there? Oh, he got out of the hospital. That's Jay in the hospital. It's Jay in San Rafael now. He's back.
He's floating.
He's
probably
hold on.
Feeling no pain.
Can we bring a champ back? It's an old one, but a good one. Go! Niners! It's really, you know what? It's an oldie, but a goodie. Let's bring it back, guys. Hell, bang, bang, Niner gang. Go, Niners! That's an original one.
So we were in our,
I love Jay.
I was in my seats in the end zone, and the guy behind me, I forget his name. I apologize. I always forget your name.
Oh, you're doing the Bonta?
Yeah, but he's like, hey, man, we haven't done the for a first down. I go, yeah, it's because we've gone 3-and-out twice to start the game. He's like, have we? I'm like, yeah, we have. You know, like that game started off ugly, and it felt like they had no momentum because Arizona had the ball for 20-some-odd minutes in the first half.
Just plays being made left and right from everyone. Mikel Williams, Upton Stout, held D. Winters on that
Winters
play with James Conner in the end zone, which would have been a touchdown, by the way, a running back that can go all the way out there, back post to the end zone, trying to make a play there. D. Winters keeping up with him, a la a Dre Greenlaw. Again, we keep talking about the Dre Greenlaw top. I'm just going to keep saying it's D. Winters and D. Winters, but, you know, it's hard for me not, as a Niner fan, to look what's going on in Denver as they lost yesterday. Dre Greenlaw, he's going to be out. He's put on the IR? I mean, I hate that, like, we saw this coming as a fan base, and clearly John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan did, too, and it was the right call to move off of him, but I didn't expect to see this level from the linebacker position outside of Fred Warner this early, and D. Winters keeps making play after play after play, Joe. It's infectious.
Yeah, he looks like he's shot out of a cannon.
Yes!
Multiple players on this team throughout the first 3 weeks have made great plays through contact and through the ground. On balls in the air. And I think that the last 5 years, you can't really remember a lot of plays where DBs, safeties, and linebackers are playing through the ground like they have. Like that Upton Stout play, which no one's brought up this morning, to force them to punt the ball and give it back up at the end of the game. That's the play of the game.
Well, it looked like it was a catch until it wasn't. It looked like Zay Jones is falling to the ground. Upton Stout pulls that thing out. And Zay Jones, say what you will about him. He's not a household name, but he's been a solid 2-3 receiver who's had some big time clutch catches in the past, whether it was for, you know, the Raiders or the Ravens. He's bounced around a bunch, but he's a legitimate NFL receiver. And for him to make that play was massive. It was the play of the game, quite frankly, on top of, you know, Sky Moore and James San Rafael bringing it up there. Sky Moore letting that ball, learning from his mistake, go to the end zone, getting good field position for Mac Jones, had the timeout in the back pocket there, and they just methodically picked apart that defense towards the end there. And it was a gritty win, a divisional win. And I know Bonte likes to say it. He didn't come up with this, by the way. The division games are different. Yeah, we know. And we'll talk to Bonte tomorrow, who'll be with us after Baldy every single Tuesday. Brian Baldinger, 7:30, and Bonte from 8 to 10. I know both of them are fired up after that Niners win. I'm sure Miguel in San Antonio is also fired up about it. What's up, Miguel? You're on the Morning Roast.
Hey, Victory Monday, 3 in a row. What's up, Shasky? What's up, Spadoni? I am fired up. I believe these games are important must-win games. We're 2-0 in the division, 3-0 in the conference. Our guys are banged up. Let's get them the rest that they need. Let's be ready to go for the long season. I'm pumped. I know in my mind I'm trying to say, oh, well, we don't have this. We're playing these teams. I don't care. These are wins. These are important wins. I'm just fired up. Just one thing about those safeties. I agree. Like, there needs to be some real look at how you're officiating these. But in the end, I'll take it. You know, Arizona, they were up. They had that 2-point confidence because of that safety. They punted it to us. We were down. We had to get the game winner. So, you know, it is what it is. It's football. A lot of emotions, ups and downs. But, you know, I'm watching that game, and I had a great night. I know Shanahan had a great night now that he can actually sleep without kicking nightmares. I said it last week on my call. We signed a veteran. This is what we expect. I know we're all a little traumatized, and we're cheering for Eddie Money, Eduardo Dinero. You know, this guy, thank you. We needed this. Another thing about our defense, Warner, is he DPOY? I mean, what is going on? He not only does he make plays, he makes the most important plays at the most important times. He's my guy. I'm just through the moon. You know, our defense is playing great. I said it last week on my call too, but Green, he scares me a little bit. I don't know if I'm overreacting or exaggerating. Renardo Green, yeah. Wow. I mean, it just seems like last game he was getting picked up. He had that penalty that led to that touchdown. I don't know.
How many teams are three deep at cornerback? Yeah.
Thanks, Miguel. Not many. Not many.
I would say none.
Yeah.
None. You know, like none right now. So I think right now you've got two young players in Renardo Green and Stout who are just going to continue to get tested. Diamond Lenore made a hell of a play earlier in this game. Made a great tackle on a short yardage play. The cornerbacks are going to be a work in progress. I had a bigger issue with Marquise Siegel on a run play, just totally whiffing in space. He's got to clean that up. Pinnock was a little slow, but that the back end of the secondary has been significantly better. They had three specific blow-up plays, though, yesterday. Marvin Harrison dropped one. He had a big catch later on, and I believe McBride was open for a wide-open one. McBride is an absolute stud.
He is.
I know Bowers gets a lot of love. McBride's the closest to all-around George Kittle.
Ooh.
No, he's a beast.
No, Brock Bowers owners are not very happy right now.
Well, maybe we shouldn't crown someone after 1 year. Well, maybe we should relax.
No one out-crowned him. He just was first-team All-Pro as a rookie. It was pretty impressive. This is a great year.
I know.
Can you agree it was a great year? Like,
he's the greatest tight end in the league!
No. Well, he was last year because he was first team all-pro.
No, you're not the best tight end in the league if you had a great year. You have to do it for four or five straight years. That's how sports works,
for
guys.
For that year, he was the greatest
because
he was voted the greatest amongst his peers. 888-957-9570 is the number. You want to do zeros and heroes on the other side, Joey? You want to do that?
Yeah.
Let's do it on the other side, Sam. You know, you're looking at me. You made a good open for it. I want to play it and reward you for said open. We got Harmon, John, and Sally on the phone lines. We'll get to you. 888-957-9570 is the number to call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Plus, Miguel was saying, hey, Fred Warner playing like a DPOY. He's played like a DPOY early on in seasons before, but the Niners might actually be missing their DPOY going forward. And that's Nick Bosa. How big of a loss would that be? Shasky and I will talk about that on the other side. It's going to be brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water.
This year, they were mixing and matching it. And it felt like on the final drive, they threw the blitzes at Mac Jones and the Niners. And they were ready for him with quick hitters. Sky Moore makes a play. I think back-to-back plays to Kendrick Bourne. Yeah. Huge plays to just keep the sticks going on that final drive. Then they backed off. And on the play they backed off, Shanahan dialed up a screen play. I'm telling you, Shanahan has been coach of the year type stuff through 3 weeks. You guys can talk DPOIs all you want. I know players got to play. I understand all that. But if we're going to criticize Kyle Shanahan ad nauseum for personnel, for play clock, for creativity, for stubbornness, for all these things, where are you at this morning? That's what I want to know from Niner fans.
Well,
because I feel like he has been the best element of the Niners. Yes, Robert Saleh has been amazing. Yes, Robert Saleh's defense, you could argue, has won them a couple of games. They've been without George Kittle. They've been without Brock Purdy. They've been without Juwan Jennings. All right? Multiple games. They've done this with their backup quarterback. They've done this without being able to have a 100-yard rusher. They're doing this with guys who most people didn't even know were on the team. Valdes-Scantling making plays.
MVS, baby.
They did this without the kicker they started the year with. So, look, I know that Robert Saleh deserves a ton of credit. I'm not taking away anything from him. All I'm saying is all you Shanahan haters, and I have my own gripes, but I am sitting here today giving him the kudos he deserves. Where you at with giving Kyle Shanahan some credit?
Where you at, Niner fans? 888-957-9570 is the number. And listen, what have you been more impressed with through 3 weeks? Or just let's stick on yesterday. The offense or the defense? You could take one or the other. Robert Saleh, again, I think there were major question marks heading into the season, and rightfully so on the offense. I think when you pay the quarterback that much money, when you have, you know, Juwan Jennings holding out, who's the number one wide receiver, you have the question marks around Ricky Pearsall, you know, George Kittle's getting older. You don't know what to expect from Christian McCaffrey. There are a lot of question marks on that offense. But specifically for the defense, you had three guys who you knew about, and everything else was up in the air, Joe. You knew about Nick Bosa. Mm-hmm. You knew about Fred Warner. And you, for the most part, you knew about D'Amore Lenore. Outside of that, it was, okay, who's going to step up? You drafted this kid out of Georgia, Mykal Williams, who stepped up the last couple weeks in a big-time way.
He's looked great.
He's looked great. You got Upton Stout making contributions, right? I know Renardo Green's been up. He's been up and down. I thought he's made some plays, though, for the most part. There was a lot of question marks there. Hell, there was an aspect of this game. The special teams, you know, made some plays. They didn't make a lot, but they made some plays. And that's been kind of their Achilles heel throughout the most part. So I just thought yesterday was a total team effort, and I keep coming away every week saying it was a total team effort from all three phases. And it's not one part of them has been the detriment of the team for them to lose. And that's a big aspect of it, because last year, this same game, I circled one player that was just god-awful, and it was Devondre Campbell. And I keep coming back, the jump from him to D. Winters, it cannot be talked about enough. And it's reverberated in the middle of that defense, is reverberated with the swagger that they play with. D. Winters has been my most surprising Niner so far this year. And I just keep coming away. It's impressed every single game.
Kyler dropped back almost 40 times yesterday.
He was so damn frustrated. You could see it. Whenever, you know, the players weren't lined up correctly after James Conner went, he kept getting the running backs that didn't know where they were going. Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't know what he's doing. It was palpable, if you're watching from your couch, Joe, the frustration from Kyler Murray. The body language is awful.
It might be. He's a stud, though. And his guys let him down. I mean, what, you don't think he is?
I was the guy that said last week, if Kyler Murray was the 49ers quarterback early on in 2019, I think they would have had a Super Bowl. So I'm a Kyler Murray guy.
You need a defense, too. So, like, yeah. I don't know if they would have got there. Whatever. Kyler's really good, dude. Like, when you go to the game, you realize, like, yes, he struggles to throw behind that line because he's so short. That is a real thing. I think Purdy does, too. Not as short as Kyler, but, like, Kyler's arm talent is unbelievable. Mm. His feet are unbelievable. To me, the stat was 6 for 37. That's what he finished with. That's rushing attempts and yards on the ground. He had 37 yards on the ground in the game. He had 23 at halftime. So I thought they bottled him up a much better in the second half as a runner. There was a play where Jair Brown in the first half came blitzing in, and he just ran right around him. He's unreal. And he made some really nice throws. There were, I think, three giant drops from Arizona. One of them in the end zone, I didn't even consider it a drop. It was a great throw. I mean, only his guy was going to make that play. Kyler is infinitely talented. You might be right regarding, like, his attitude as a quarterback with his teammates. Guys were not lining up before the line, like, before the play clock was draining down, and he had to call hike with less than 1 second left or less than 2 seconds left over and over and over again because his guys didn't know where to be. Like, they literally didn't know where to be. So I'm not trying to defend Kyler. I just thought that his teammates really let him down.
Well, no, and listen, I don't want it to sound like I'm crushing him for it. He just clearly was bothered by it. I'm just calling it how I'm seeing it. He was clearly
frustrated.
But if Brady
does that same thing, if Brady does
that same thing.
He's Tom Brady. Well, that's,
I know. Like, but he's Tom Brady, so that's why.
So Aaron Rodgers, is he allowed to?
Well, what's the narrative around Kyler Murray? It's what? Yeah, I mean, you talked about it last week. What's the narrative around the guy?
Well, work ethic.
The work ethic and the leader.
He was ready to go. There, multiple times, wide receivers and running backs were on the wrong side of where to be. He's like, no, get over here, Like, to me, I was like, oh, actually, Kyler knows more of the playbook than I gave him credit for. No, I thought yesterday was a revelation. That being said,
He had a tiptoe one down the sideline where he picked up that first down. I thought he ran out early, but, like, they did great camera work on the Fox broadcast where he just, ever so slightly, just tiptoed, got the first down easily. It's amazing.
He's one of the best athletes you've ever seen.
Yes.
I'm not even trying to, like, joke. He's the smallest guy on the field, and he's ridiculous. That said,
he was drafted in the first round of the Major League Baseball draft.
He's unreal. Dude, he's a great watch.
Billy Bean.
But in the pocket, he really struggles to see the underneath stuff when he's stuck in the pocket. And there was a play where I thought Fred Warner should have intercepted him underneath and, like, literally ran into his own player. Two guys, I don't know, was it D Winners? I forget who the other guy was. Like, they collided into each other, trying to make it. That was really the only play that I thought he made a bad pass on.
It was Fred Warner and D Winners, actually. Okay. And it was D Winners. Like, Fred had a perfect beat on it and probably would have gotten the pick. But D Winners, they were both so excited to get it. They kind of had friendly fire there. Before we get to Zeros and Heroes, we'll do that in a couple seconds. A couple minutes. Harmon in Danville wants to join in the conversation around Christian McCaffrey. And again, him being a receiver this year, being top 15 in receiving yards, it's pretty incredible. The Niners are one of two teams with two players in the top 15 in receiving yards through 2 weeks. You got the Rams, Puka Nacua, and Devontae Adams, probably both potential Hall of Famers in their own right early on for Puka. Devontae's going to the Hall of Fame. And the Niners with Christian McCaffrey and Ricky Pearsall. Pretty incredible. What's up, Harmon?
Fellas, how's it going? I wanted to say I am driving over the Bay Bridge with crazy traffic instead of taking BART because I'm passionate about this take. So, Shasky, you got me going this morning when I got in the car. But here's my thing is I am a 44 lifer. I love juice. Incredible Niner. Should never buy a beer for the rest of his life. With all that said, I think the Niners probably should have let him go after the Super Bowl.
Totally agree.
An incredible player. Incredible player. But his time is done. They need to have Brian Robinson as their back more, and they need to install Christian McCaffrey more in the Debo role. The job is to get the best players on the field. And if they do that, first off, like, the element of disguise will be way more prevalent.
I agree.
And also as well too, I mean, look, like Christian McCaffrey in the slot, man, that may be what he'll thrive in the twilight of his career. So just my take. And last thing, shout out to Coach Sala, man. When you play Pop Warner football, you get taught a couple things. Run to the football, use your hands, tackle well. And the little things are just popping out so much. So shout out to Coach Sala. Shout out to Levi Stadium yesterday. It was rocking. And go Niners, man.
Yeah. The juice thing is very interesting. So I think they ran 62 offensive plays yesterday. So he was only in for 22 of them. Now, you get the benefit of that play action play where he's wide open, and Max sold it so brilliantly. And I think that was set up by some of their, you know, predictable goal line runs earlier in the game. That being said, Brady said it 2 years ago, and I'm now in agreement with him. You got to get your best guys on the field. And right now, I'm not sure Juice is one of your best guys on the field. I think this number 22, which is about a third of the snaps, should probably be closer to 10. If we're being real, he's a short yardage type of a fullback, and I know they use him in a variety of ways, and it mimics a tight end, and they miss George Kittle.
Correct. That's the biggest
they
one.
They miss him.
Yeah.
Farrell's a better blocker, and I think Tonge is a better blocker. And so I just think formations right now where he is going back and forth and back and forth on early rundown situations are really predictable, and he's not blocking anybody. And I want to see three wide receiver, one tight end, one running back sets. And I think that you'll have that luxury when you get Juwan Jennings back and when you get DeMarcus Robinson back. So now you would have these are your best offensive players. Like, I like Juice, and he's useful. No one's saying, I don't think he needs to be off the team. There's a spot for him. I'm just saying now he's more of a way more situational player. And it really was evident to me they are struggling to run the ball between the tackles. So what they need to do is they need to get that third wide. They don't have it right now.
No.
When you're playing without Jennings, that means Kendrick Bourne is getting elevated. He's not a two.
No.
I don't even think Pearsall's a one, but like he looks good. He's ideally a great two. But you get Jennings and Pearsall out there. You get DeMarcus Robinson out there. You get CMC. I think you'll be able to get into more nickel formations on defense, and you'll have an easier time running because you're spreading out that defense.
Hell, Christian McCaffrey's your two right now, quite frankly.
No,
and you don't need him. You don't want him to be.
He is.
But he is. But I hear what you're saying. When it comes to wide receiver room, it's absolutely been Kendrick Bourne.
Look, they're always going to run five-man fronts, and they're going to have 7-8 in the box. But you got to spread these guys out. And I think part of why they're throwing as much as they are is because the boxes are completely really stacked, and there's nowhere to go. Their, like, four best runs on the season have all been called back for holds.
Quick correction here. I said that the 49ers are one of just two teams to have two receivers in the top 15. It's actually three teams, excuse me, because the New York Giants, who have not yet won a game, also have it in Malik Nabers and Wandale Robinson there. So three teams.
Nobody was coming in. Correct.
Well, it's okay. Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line. We got the sticklers out there, and that's fine.
Get a life.
No, it's okay. No, we strive for excellence here on the Morning Roast, Joe. It's okay.
They're the only team in the NFL without a rushing touchdown right now.
Christian McCaffrey hasn't had a rushing touchdown, do you know, since?
Probably 2023.
Since the NFC Championship game a couple years ago.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not surprised.
It's pretty incredible. No, I'm just saying, it's pretty incredible.
I'm honestly not, though. Like, I'm not surprised at all. And look, yesterday, that juice touchdown was a direct result of the play action off of Christian McCaffrey.
Correct.
So
even if he's not getting them, he is being a part of them in some sort of way. And Ricky Pearsall hasn't had a touchdown yet receiving. So.
Ricky's been awesome.
It's been incredible.
That throw on fourth down, the guts to go for it. I love that they ran the ball on third down knowing they were going to go for it on fourth down. Again, I just feel like the clarity with the kicking situation has actually made Kyle a better coach.
And I'm glad you brought that up. We'll hear from the coach. We'll hear from Mac Jones. We'll hear from all the players after the game.
Again, awesome.
We are monitoring the situation with Nick Bosa. Left the game with about a minute to go in the first quarter yesterday with a knee injury. Hoping it's not ACL. That's per the Niners. We'll get more about that today at some point, and we will relay that information to the people, because obviously that would be a massive gut punch for this team that's playing pretty well in spite of losing some of their big names. But eventually it gets to a point where you can't keep missing some DPOY, you know, all-pro players, that being George Kittle and Nick Bosa. Oreo Cookie in Oakland. What's up, Oreo?
Hey, good morning, fellas. Happy Victory Monday. It was a nail biter yesterday, huh? But it looks like that's how we're going to be playing most of our games, man. They're going to be close. Our defense is going to keep us in it. So I'm very encouraged about that. But going back to the offense, you guys were talking about the wide receivers. We're going to have some guys coming back, man, and that pushes people down a bit. I know we didn't have Jennings, but Jennings, I guess, becomes a number four. We have Robinson, we have Pearsall, and then we have Ayuk coming back. My boy Kittle comes back. So those pass catchers are going to come back, and like you said, they're going to open up the box because there's too many in the box right now. Kyle knew that we had a pass to get that win, and he did it towards the end. Ricky Pearsall, that's my white boy Tupac, baby. Yay!
Is that a walk-off from Oreo Cookie? White boy Tupac, Slick Rick? By the way, third in receiving yards through 3 weeks is Ricky Pearsall, playing like a first-round pick, 281 on 16 receptions. It's pretty incredible. Only Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Puka Nacua with more. Ricky Pearsall has absolutely been a hero, Joe. Did you know that? He's not been a zero, Carter.
He was the no one, a zero, zero.
The demons of 24 live for Jake Moody.
No,
Samuel.
It's time for Heroes and Zeros, the best and worst from every 49ers game on the Morning Roast.
God, that's a Mona Lisa again from Sam. I wish they could put audio clips in the Louvre out in Paris, France. Sam would have his own corner there right next to the Mona Lisa. I swear.
With you dancing, which was ridiculous, while it was going on. Like, yeah, that's how my dad used to dance.
Oh, I am a dad.
Shask, your reaction to that made all that worth it.
And then
it.
You sounded like Mr. Mackey in South Park. I don't know what.
No, he sounded like Trey Parker doing the narration for Rob Schneider is a stapler. Rated PG-13.
I go Morning Roast.
So what is Zeros to Heroes? Let's hear this. So Zeros and Heroes? Is that what we're
doing? That's it. So he's doing the Hercules theme. Shout out Disney. I know you're a Disney dad, so shout out the theme there.
Okay.
Zeros and Heroes. We do it every single week.
I've never heard that song.
Oh, that's great. You didn't watch Hercules in the 90s? I thought that was your era. The Disney movie?
I was a little older.
It's like one of the goated animated Disney movies.
Animated Disney movies?
Yeah, it was like you were like 12 when it like came out probably, right? Like 93.
You and LJ will watch it soon.
What's
and you're going to love it. Hercules.
Hercules. Hercules. Hercules. No? All right. That's fine. It's a very simple game, Joe. It's not really a game. He just, you know, talked about this past week and who were the zeros and who were the heroes. A hero is someone that performed well. A zero is someone that did not. And I'm going to start first to the zero. And it doesn't have to be a Niner exclusive. It could be the other team, too. Marvin Harrison Jr., oh my God. This guy, first-round pick last year, I thought he was, and again, his career, he could turn this thing around. But right now, we were talking about bust in the summer with Ricky Pearsall, and I apologize there. He just needs to stay healthy. Marvin Harrison, oh my God, dropping a wide, and I mean wide open touchdown that could have been the difference in this game. Marvin, he ended up being the leading receiver, 3 receptions, 44 yards. But the amount of times, and you were at the game, Joe, that there was just miscommunication. I mean, it's been a year now and 3 games, and there's still miscommunication with your first round pick. What was the talk about this guy coming out of Ohio State? The most polished route runner. He was smart. He's got the size. He's got the speed. He's got the hands. He's got it all. Well, it looks like Malik Nabers was that guy, not Marvin Harrison Jr. He's my zero. Yikes.
Yeah, I think the heroes for me is the entire defense. When you hold Kyler Murray to 160 yards passing, and then you hold him to only 37 yards rushing, like you held that one guy down. And he is that good. And one throw can change a game, as we saw. One run can change a game. So Fred Warner is definitely like going to be the guy that gets most of the credit. But like D-Winters has been amazing. D-Winters has been absolutely amazing. But the rookies for me have been what's like really separating this thing. When you lose Bosa and Michael Williams and Collins step up in the absence and are making plays. Collins, I was like, is this guy going to even be a player?
Right.
I thought he was going to be a giant stiff. He's already shown me more in the first couple of weeks of the season than I thought we were going to get, you know, in the preseason. I really thought we'd get nothing from him. And then Stout making the play of the game.
Shanahan talked about the D-line stepping up after the Bosa injury after the game.
I just saw him step it up. I mean, as I saw a number of guys make plays, I thought they contained Kyler pretty good, which is a huge challenge. I mean, the whole goal is to keep him in that pocket, and it is extremely hard with how fast he is and how quick he is. And I thought we played the run game very well. They didn't give any big ones, and I was real proud of the whole defense, but especially the D-line.
And the other guy that hasn't gotten mentioned enough, I feel like, the first couple weeks, yesterday it really was evident. Bryce Huff was awesome yesterday. Bryce Huff snuffed out multiple screens. I thought his speed on the edge was desperately needed. He's been an excellent acquisition.
A guy that I heard his name a lot, it didn't really come up in the you know, the box score, if you will, but Sam Okwuonu was running yesterday. He was trying to get Kyler, God bless him. I mean, how much does Sam Okwuonu weigh? He was trying to get little Kyler Murray out there multiple times. He just kept pushing him and pushing him. He had 7 total tackles, 2 solo. But Sam Okwuonu was a guy that I kept seeing trying to make the play. Didn't make the big one. But again, the motor out there. These guys playing with some intensity and with some purpose instilled by the defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh, for sure. All right, so those are your heroes. Let's get to my hero of the game.
Yeah, I've got more, though.
Oh, I know you got more, but I want to give mine first.
Give
all right,
yours.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
He's a hero. I mean, come on. My guy, Eddie DeNiro, a.k.a. Eddie Money. It's Eddie Pinheiro, baby. He's a hero. When called upon, he delivered 3 for 3, a long of 51 yards, and he was the difference yesterday with the game winner. The place going nuts. I'm actually thinking that earthquake that happened in Berkeley was a direct result of that game-winning kick. Maybe it just reverberated all the way to the East Bay, and that was what caused it. Hopefully there's no serious damage. I don't think there was. I've been watching the news all morning. I mean, the guys camped out in front of a Halloween store thinking like there was actual damage to the storefront. It was a 4.8, people. It shook for like 5-6 seconds. All right. But Eddie Pinheiro is my hero of yesterday. And here's the head coach talking about the confidence level he has in him.
Confident. You know, we don't have a lot of life experiences together, so I don't, you know. But I was feeling good with it, and he definitely kept that going. We were going to kick along. We were in field goal range earlier before that. I love the screen that Christian did. The guys blocked right for him, got it in there, made it easier, and then we centered it, and I hit the game winner.
I love snarky Shanahan and sarcastic Shanny. He's just like, yeah, I mean, we don't have a lot of life experiences together. I guess I'm confident in the guy. But clearly he was. I mean, clearly the game plan, he felt confident in him in those kicks and situations that he definitely wouldn't have had with Jake Moody if he was still on this team. So shout out Eddie Pinheiro, who's, again, made all of his field goals with the 49ers.
There was a small part of me, that was like, I might take a shot at the end zone. Okay. Just because I just don't trust anything. And also, if you watch any of the highlights from the first, you know, the first half of games in the morning, like, how many block kicks were there?
I mean,
they were much deeper tries.
The Jets, with a couple minutes to go, went from winning the game because they blocked the field goal attempt from the Bucs, who were trying to basically ice it out there. They take the lead, then the Bucs come all the way back down and attempt a game-winning field goal. Just incredible games all around in that early slate. And the Niners definitely were clean when that came to the kicking game yesterday. So okay. That was good.
I'll save my last couple heroes here, but please. I'll give you my two zeros.
Thank you.
From the game. Zero number one, the run game is clearly just an issue right now. There's a variety of reasons why. They just can't get the run going. All their good runs are getting called back for holds. I think there's a variety of things happening. I do think the O-line's playing okay. I think we're overrating, or I guess underrating, how well they're playing. I think the O-line's done a good job for the most part. The other zero, the biggest one, it's the blue tent. Every week, the blue tent does us in. Mac Jones had to have the knee brace put on during the middle of the game, and then Nick Bosa left the game with an injury. And we already know Jennings was deactivated for the game. Purdy didn't play. Kittle's on IR. They're just, like, they can't go a week without a devastating starter going down. It's really frustrating. So the blue tent and the run game are my two zeros.
888-957-9570. If you want to provide your own heroes and zeros from the game, you could call or text it in on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. 888-957-9570. This is a halfie. This guy's half hero, half zero. But he ended up being a hero. I'm going Sky Moore. You can split it in half. You can play both, Carter, if you want. Because he made the boneheaded play of catching it inside the 10 on a punt. First off, why? When did we start doing this? I thought we all agreed forever.
Well, no, early,
my dad told me this. You never catch it inside the 10. You let it go, always.
But inside, I guess earlier there was a shorter punt that bounced at like the 21 and ended up bouncing. He was back.
Yeah.
He didn't come flying up to catch it, because that is a tough play. You don't want to, like, fumble it right there.
He salvaged some yards on that one. He ended up catching and got a couple.
I think that play kind of affected him a little.
Maybe, but this one was definitely going to land inside, like, the 6 or 7. You let that go, bro.
I agree with you.
You let it go, and then it obviously led to the safety because the holding in the end zone. He learned from his mistake, though. Let it go over the end zone the next time, and that set up the game-winning drive for Mac Jones. So you know what? He ended up being... But he ended up being a hero. Thank you. Shout out Hercules. I love this bet. It gets my fired up.
Are you going the Eddie Murphy movie, Nutty Professor, or are you going the...
It's the name of the movie is Hercules. So I'm saying Hercules. The movie is Hercules. This whole song.
Is this a cartoon, though?
Dude, it's from Disney. I thought you were a Disney guy.
Yeah, I am, but I don't...
In
fairness, it wasn't, like, hyped up when it came out, but, like, it's a very underrated
I think you're mixing pop culture references.
So I'm just saying Hercules, but it's the name of the movie. All right,
I
thought you were the Disney guy.
Okay, so I'm all right.
No, but you and LJ need to watch this movie together. You will absolutely love it.
Thanks.
Just be honest. My pop culture references and knowledge are superior than all of yours. That's okay.
Ooh.
Just give us the thumbs up there. I'm the hero of this segment. Continue. Thanks, Carter.
Christian McCaffrey has been an unbelievable stud for this team. To me, he's the MVP through a couple games, just for the team. And you don't get MVPs for three games. That's not even a fourth of this season. But he's been amazing. They don't win any of these games without CMC. And I also think that Mac Jones has been excellent. Gutty, gritty. It hasn't been perfect. I think he's hung in there and thrown some really tough balls with guys hammering him in the face. I will not question his toughness. Has he held on to the ball a little longer than I'd like? Yeah, on a couple plays. But I think overall, the fact that he has been as efficient as he's been and the ball placement's been as good as it's been and his connection with Pearsall, they don't win these games without Mac Jones. And I think he deserves a ton of credit. So him and Christian McCaffrey are my last two heroes.
There we go. 888-957-9570. That concludes this week's version of Zeros and Heroes. But if you want to continue to text or call about them, we'll do it all show long. Again, No guests, guest-free on a Victory Monday / Monster Monday here on 95.7 The Game, reacting to a huge 49ers divisional win over the Arizona Cardinals to improve to 3-0 on the season. First place in the NFC West. What does first place mean in week three? Absolutely nothing, but it feels good. And the way they've won these games, Joe, by 10 points, that's been the margin of victory of all three games combined. 10 points, mentally tough outcomes. And a lot of people are texting in, oh, do you guys see what the Seahawks did to the Saints? Clearly, you know, the Niners should have beaten the Saints by that much. The Seahawks, well, again, week-to-week league. Is anyone saying the Green Bay Packers are a horrible team because they lost to the Cleveland Browns yesterday? Are you ready to say that? We're just going to, oh, the Packers stink. They're done. Stop. Any given Sunday. It's the old cliche, but it's true. You can lose to any team on any given Sunday. The Eagles should have lost yesterday, but they didn't. And the Rams probably feel like they let that one go, and they lost. Hell, the Jets easily could have beaten the Bucs yesterday.
Here's what I would say. 3 weeks is not going to make or break your season, but it is a good indicator of where you're trending.
Well, it could break your season because there's only been one team in this century that have gone 0-3 and made the playoffs.
I'm talking about being this good this early, sure. not the reverse end. Yes. Like, it's a good indicator. Like, if you look at all the playoff teams last year that ended up in the playoffs, most of them have a winning record. Right. This time last year, the Packers were 2-1. They went on to go to the playoffs. The Texans were 2-1. They went on to go to the playoffs. The Vikings were 3-0. They won the division and went to the playoffs, or lost the division, excuse me, and went to the playoffs. The Eagles were 2-1. Now the Saints were 2-1. They ended up being garbage, as we found out. The Chargers went to the playoffs. They were 2-1. Steelers started off 3-0. Like, just go right down the list of last year and who was good. The majority of them started off the year 2-1 or 3-0. So you're in the driver's seat right now, and you look up at this division and you say, Seattle's not going away. The Rams aren't going away. You now have one more win in division than you had last year, all of last year. You have half as many wins as you had all of last year. Like, check, check, check. And you're getting reinforcements back.
And that's going to be the huge part. And obviously, we're awaiting the news on Nick Bosa, because that would be just a brutal, brutal loss. And hopefully, it's just for a week, a couple weeks. We'll see. We do not know the severity of the knee injury after Nick Bosa left yesterday's game with a minute to go in the first quarter. They're hoping it's not an ACL per Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers. 888-957-9570 is the number. And I said it before the season started, Joe. And again, it's early. But I did say, it is wide open, the NFC. Like, I know we're all shoehorning the Eagles in. And listen, we respect them because they are the defending champs. And they got studs out there. They got the big boys. They got the players. We get all that. And they're going to be there towards the end, probably, again, at least be in the playoffs. But outside of them, like, the Niners absolutely are up there with the Rams, with the Packers, with all this. I give so much respect for what they have done. Different iterations of this team, whether it's Jimmy, whether it's Brock, now with Mac Jones winning his last two games, I've been so damn impressed. They've been one of the most impressive stories early on the season. I think it's them and the Chargers, because the Chargers started off their season with three divisional games. Chiefs, Raiders, Broncos, they won 3-0 in all those. Again, Jim Harbaugh talking about, you know, the Harbaugh-Shanahan comparisons there. Both those teams winning tough and gritty and tight games in all of them. Again, I feel much better about that. And these style of wins, it kind of sounds a little crazy. Like, every fan would love to win blowouts. And I don't know if this team is going to have any blowout wins this year. They might not. Or they might beat the Jaguars next week. They might blow them out. Who knows? I don't know. But there is something to be said about kind of having these eking victories and setting the tone early when you weren't having them last year, Joe. Well, when these ones were slipping away from you last year.
You always hear from the gambling guys. Like, I hear this all the time. You know, this team won a bunch of one-score games last year, and that can't continue. There's not a skill in winning. You sound like someone who never played sports. The ones, like, there is a skill, number one. Like, there is a skill.
Yeah.
Joe Montana was the comeback kid for a reason. Patrick Mahomes is considered one of the great players to ever play because of his comeback ability. Multiple 10-point deficits in the Super Bowl, and he comes back and wins, right? There is a skill. I'm sorry, there just is. Some teams find a way to battle back, and other ones find a way to crumble. Now, year over year over year over year, if your team doesn't have one of those all-time greats at quarterback, I'll listen to you. But I think within a year, I believe there is a skill to winning close games. And I do believe that there are certain times, you see this in college, where teams aren't accustomed to playing maybe a tight game. All their losses are blowout losses or they're blowout wins, and they're just not used to being in one-score games. You play differently and you play in a one-score game. I like winning ugly. I do. Now, would I like to win 48-10 like the Vikings did yesterday? Yeah, mix in a couple of those.
Sure.
But I will take it any way I can get it.
And, well, the Minnesota Vikings have their studs still. I know Jordan Addison's come back from a suspension, but they have those guys. The Niners have been doing it without their all-pro tight end and Hall of Fame tight end. They've been doing it without their number one wide receiver from last year. They've been doing it without their starting quarterback. They've been using a backup in Mac Jones. I call him the Mac-up. The Mac-up Jones, baby. I'm trademarked that. Like, he's been that dude, though, and the calmer. He really has. There is something about his presence on that in that offensive line, whether the group, whatever. They trust in Mac.
Well, and the fact that he threw the interception, which was bad. I mean, it was bad. And I felt like, ugh. Then the defense bailed them out. The defense got the stop that you wanted. And he gets the ball back, and for him to bounce back with a great little drive, he had a nice, no one ever taught this, he had a nice throwaway on that final drive where it was like, don't force something that's not there. Yeah. Like, live to see another down. I thought that was savvy. Had he been a younger player, maybe earlier in his career, maybe he forces a play right there.
Before we get to the injury report here, let's go to E in San Jose. Wants to join the conversation. What's up, E? You're on the Morning Roast.
Good morning, fellas. I'm going to do my best to channel my inner Shasky here. What we have here defines the Shanahan era. It's either penthouse or outhouse. They either miss the playoffs or they go all the way. And these gritty, gritty wins are what define a season as all the way or define a season as 6-11. And these kind of things is what the Niners need. So many times, it was just a lesson learned. Now, this season, they're wins. They have no business winning that game yesterday after what happened with the whole safety and everything that happened. So, I'll take ugly wins over lessons learned any day of the week, and I'll take my answer off air.
You know, they had special teams gaffes. They had a turnover late. They got stuffed at the goal line, right? They had some defensive mistakes where they blew coverages on the back end, first time all year, and they still found a way to win. They gave up a safety, and they still found a way to win. Like, I do think there's something that's kind of special brewing right now, and this unit feels very, just the team as a whole feels very connected, and it feels very next man up style.
Given the circumstances, I do think this is their best win out of the entire season. It's early. I know that's not saying a whole hell of a lot. A lot of people will go to that Seahawks win in Seattle. But given you lost your best defensive player, or 1A, 1B, Bosa or Warner, but you lost that guy, and everyone stepped up, and as E alluded to right there, that a lot of teams would just fold in that scenario. When you didn't get the safety call, and they did, and they're getting the ball back potential to ice the game.
I know.
And it was a great play call, design. Zay Jones had it, up and south, ripped that thing away. It was a great play there, all involved. I thought the execution was just lacking, but shout out Upton Stout, just not giving up on a play. And that's when I keep coming back to this team, not giving up on the play, offensively or defensively, or knowing when to give up on a play and taking the loss there and taking the down. You mentioned Mac Jones. I think it was Mark Sanchez on the broadcaster saying it was a great throwaway. Hey, it's not there. Don't put the ball in harm's way. Toss that thing out of bounds. It's fine. Now, we don't want intentional grounding, but just feeling the offense and letting the plays develop in front of you. And he just found a rhythm there late. And it's funny. Like, I feel like a lot of fans and former, fans of Mac Jones are probably like, wait, it was like an accident waiting to happen. But why did I feel confidence in him in that final drive? I just did. I had confidence in Mac that he would get it done. And he did that late, even shaking off that ugly interception he had. And Max sneaky funny at the podium. I didn't know he had this kind of personality. He's got some dry humor. We'll play it on the other side where he's not giving the defender any credit. He's like, psh, and throw it right to him. But Mac Jones, I love what I'm seeing. And if this is all he does going forward, hey, great job, Mac Jones. He won the two games. He did his job. You should be happy. Niner fans should be grateful for him. And hopefully we'll see some Brock Purdy coming up here shortly. But before that, it's the injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
And it's the biggest injury in football yesterday, potentially. Nick Bosa had to leave the 49ers' win over the Cardinals in the first quarter yesterday with a knee injury. Television cameras caught Bosa giving a thumbs down to the crowd as he walked towards the locker room. Initial tests did not show a tear in the ACL, and he will undergo more tests today, which will shed more light on the severity of said injury. While the test did not show a tear in the ACL, Kyle Shanahan did not rule out an ACL injury, saying that we should, quote, keep our fingers crossed for the MRI, end quote. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. And what's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Let's dive in to that injury and that potential big loss for the 49ers with Nick Bosa. But again, this team finds a way without Nick Bosa for three quarters to win the game. Mykel Williams stepping up, Upton Stout stepping up, Mac Jones stepping up. It was a total team victory again. We're talking about it all as the 49ers improved to 3-0 on the season. First in the NFC West, halfway home here on a Victory Monday. It's Spadoni, it's Shasky, it's the Morning Roast, and you on the other side on 95.7 The Game.